This is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. Welcome to the Vintage Homeschool Mom Show. Your host, Felice Gerwitz, is an author, a publisher, and your radio show host. She will encourage, educate, and inspire you with answers to your most pressing questions, from homeschool, marriage, parenting, and much more. Felice loves to equip moms to live a Christian life because every moment counts. Be sure to visit her website at mediaangels.com. And here's your host, Felice Gerwitz.
Well, hey, everybody, and welcome. Today I'm going to welcome two very special guests to Vintage Homeschool Moms. The first is Rochelle McFarland and Lindsay Stomberg. And they are not only amazing women, entrepreneurs, and, of course, homeschooling moms, they are also the authors of It's the Heart, Not the Hemline, a Biblical Unit Study on Modesty. And if that's not enough, they are also podcasters on the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. So they host a show, Talking Mom to Mom Podcast, which airs every Saturday. And I want to welcome you ladies.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you for having us.
Well, I'm excited because I want to find out a little bit more about you. I know when you podcast, people can learn about you as well, but I just wanted to go a little bit deeper here, and so that's why I asked you to be on the show. And so first, Rochelle, I know I've known you through the internet world, and you've even created some graphics for me, so it's always been fun. You own Ruby Ink Design, and that is so cool, and you have four kids, and you're married, and you are a busy homeschool mama, and I've got your bio on the network, so if you go to Vintage Homeschool Mom, and it's going to be titled Meet Rochelle and Lindsay. So you'll find the show notes there, and you'll find links to their website as well. So, you know, just tell me a little bit about, you know, what you do, a day in the life of Rochelle McFarland. What does that look like?
Oh, a day in the life. Well, my life changes day to day, but I have over the years found that establishing some sort of basic skeleton of a routine does help keep sanity. I usually try to, because since I do work, you know, as you know, like you mentioned, the design work and the blog, I have what I call office hours early in the morning from like 6 till 9, and then my kids start school around 9:30, and then we go until lunch, then they have a lunch break, and then we kind of, you know, wrap things up school-wise, and we're usually done about 2 o'clock. And then somebody's running off to softball or ballet or karate, one of those lovely little things, or co-op. And then sometimes I work again in the evening. So the days are filled with, they're jam-packed. Every minute is filled with something. And it's a blessing. Every minute is a blessing. Every minute might be busy and it might be crazy, but it's fun. But it takes a lot of, took me a lot of years to get to the point where I could appreciate being busy without going insane.
Right. There's always that little tug of war there and trying to do that. And just the last few years, I set office hours, not that I don't break them on a regular basis, but I like the sound of that. It just really, you know, gives me a handle on when I'm going to be working. Because as you know, from working at home, you can be working 24/7 and never have a break. And
right.
Not, as my husband says, you're never productive if you're working that long. And so, Lindsay, you and Rochelle both have a website, TalkingMom, and the number 2mom.com. So that's TalkingMom2mom.com. And you two have a very busy life. You have quite a few little ones. You have 6 children, 8 and younger, and I've also known you through the world of internet and was excited to hear that you and Rochelle were both going to start your podcast, and really happy. I have to say a lot of people approach me about, you know, perhaps podcasting on our network, on our Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network, and for those of you that may not know, I'm the owner and creator of the concept. And so when I get emails, usually it's just like 3 words or a sentence. But you girls had a beautiful marketing plan. I just looked at it and thought, well, what else would I get from them? And every question that I typically ask was answered in that. So I think we went from point A to like E. We took a big jump because you guys were so far ahead of the curve. And you guys were just exploring the possibility. And I was just like, yes, you know, you're in. Let me know when you're ready. So I was really excited to hear that. And, you know, you've got all these little ones, and you're also a work-at-home mom. So tell me, how do you balance that?
Well, I have tried to get over the myth of balance because I've just started to realize that me having six very young ones, mm-hmm. it tends to not, a schedule doesn't exactly work for me. And I'm learning to accept that. So setting work hours is a nice idea, but in practice, because, you know, if I sit down, I've got four kids coming up and, you know, pulling my arm for something that they need. So I'm learning to just work in pockets of time as I find them throughout the day.
Which is but, great. Yeah. Go ahead.
Oh, no, it's a lot of fun. It's a blessing to have all these kids, but it is definitely chaotic. And so it's just a learning process. You know, I have to sit down with my husband regularly and reevaluate my schedule to figure out what's a priority for this week mm-hmm. to focus on.
Right.
So sometimes that's housekeeping, other times that's catching up on a little bit of homeschooling, and then, you know, a lot of the times that's work and trying to catch up on things I'm missing from work.
Right. And that is always a struggle. And that was one of the reasons, and I'm going to stick to that story, that I never had a schedule. I am not the most organized and scheduled person. I know people don't believe that when they hear it, because I do podcast quite frequently on those kinds of topics, because I keep trying to make myself organized. And so I created a video one time, and my daughter and I never laughed so hard as we did when we watched the video. And as my daughter said, and this is my second oldest child, and she's like you, Lindsay, she's got seven little ones, but under the age of 11. And, you know, with a baby that's 5 or 6 months, I think, as of right now, Christopher. But, you know, I tried to get her to podcast because she's amazing and she's super organized. And like she said, well, you know what to tell people to do. The fact is you just need to implement what you say. So, of course, you know, it was I can't watch me on video any more than it's hard to listen to ourselves. Now I'm used to hearing my voice because I've been doing this. This is like my seventh or eighth year of podcasting. It's three on Vintage Homeschool Moms, but I've had other podcasts before. And so, you know, it's difficult, but, you know, your family is a priority and they're not going to be little, you know, forever. And so, you know, it's really great to see where God's going to take this, because I know you're both committed Christians, and that is so awesome. And so, you know, it is a balancing act as moms, and it's really nice to hear you guys on your podcast. And I was looking at some of the shows that you have done lately. Has there been one on the Talking Mom to Mom podcast that you really felt was a great one? Because I'm looking at all of these and I want to, you know, I've listened to quite a few of them and I really feel like you guys are really doing a great job. But is there one that kind of stands out for you?
Well, I don't know. I hate to say that I don't know, because everyone has been such a learning process for us because we're new to this. Mm-hmm. And it's been such a great experience, because Lindsay and I, before we did this, our little background is that we were friends for, you know, for quite a few years before we did the podcast. And we would always, I mean, we're always talking to each other, not, you know, and we thought, well, you know, this is what we need to do. We need to get on here and talk about things that are important to us and that are in our heart. And it's just been such a learning experience that we've been able to have the opportunity to pick topics that we, you know, we want to explore ourselves, or that maybe we want to encourage somebody else in, and we get to do it together. So it's like I feel like I'm opening a present every time I get to, you know, record with Lindsay. It's like, yay, we get to record again. Yay, we get to talk and we get to learn so much from each other. And we're hoping that we're a blessing to others. I think that as time went on, the last few, and unfortunately I had to do a few when Lindsay, she had some sickness in her home, and I went on by myself, and it was very I was very nervous about it. But, and I went on kind of like, okay, and I even introduced it like, okay, I really don't know what I'm going to say, but this is a topic that's been on my heart. And I just started talking, and I was like, okay, you know, I'm just starting to get the hang of it. So even though that was one of my favorite ones, only because I felt like it was the first time I was coming into my own. And I was like, I can't wait for Lindsay to come back, because now we're really going to, you know, now we're going to do this for real, because it just takes a little bit of time. So we're kind of new at it. So it's like every one is such a big deal for me.
Well, I'll agree with Rochelle, because her podcast, it was called What Qualifies You to Homeschool, and she did record it like last second because I was sick with a stomach virus, and we were supposed to record that night, and I called her and said, I can't. And so she recorded that, and she didn't have any plan for it, and I listened to it, and I said, oh, my goodness, every single one of these needs to be like this. It was just very raw and really encouraging to me coming in to listen to it, even though she talks to me like that all the time. So, and that's the whole, with the podcast, the way it came about is I had asked her a question, which I ask her homeschooling questions all the time. I called her and asked her a question. As we were talking, I was like, we just need to record this. What you're saying is so good.
So
that's
the
podcast or our phone conversations, but, you know, on a podcast.
Right. But it's true, because a lot of the questions that you ask each other, and, you know, Rochelle's been homeschooling longer than Lindsay has. And so that's the whole concept of the podcast, for those of you that haven't tuned in, and I encourage you to do that, is that, you know, you've got a one homeschool mom. I don't want to call you older, Rochelle, because I'm way older than both of you. But one mom mentoring another. And so that's what makes it so great, that they really work off of each other. And it is difficult. I came off of the experience of public speaking at conferences. And my first podcast, I was a guest on another podcast. And for a while, I did a lot of, you know, guest speaking on different podcasts, and I was always so nervous. And, you know, I was telling my husband this, and when I'm nervous, I don't talk. So that's how my husband knows that something's wrong. He'll be like, are you okay? You know, something's wrong. She's not running her mouth about something, you know, 24/7. And so it was different, because you cannot gauge your audience. If you're standing in front of a conference hall and you've got people sitting in front of you, even if you've got somebody dozing off in front of you, and yes, that happened to me. I had the after lunch session, and it was on science fair projects. And I had this gentleman who just went to sleep. And I'm thinking, oh my gosh, I cannot look at him, because, you know, I'm so embarrassed, I'm so boring that he fell asleep in my talk, you know, it was that kind of thing, you know, go, oh, thank you, Lord, for humbling me here. And later he came up to me and told me what a great talk it was, and I'm thinking, and he even told me some of the things I said, so I don't know if he just woke, because of course after that I didn't look over there, but I don't know if he woke up during different parts of it, but I just always laugh about that and think, you know, just when you don't think people are listening. And it's the same thing with podcasting. Sometimes you think, oh my gosh, has anybody, is anyone even listening? You know, we see our podcast stats and things like that. So I know hundreds of you are, sometimes thousands, depending on the topic. And, you know, and then you get an email from someone, you know, expressing, you know, something that you said. Or I had one mom that was really cute, and she goes, oh, I always listen to your podcast when we're doing things around the house, and we took you painting today, so we painted one of the kids' bedrooms and we were listening. Or another mom who said, was really sweet and said, oh, I listen to your podcast when I do my morning walk, and it gets me ready for my homeschool day. You know, and so it's like blessings like that. So if you're listening and you listen to one of the podcasts on our network, do drop the podcasters a note, because it's always nice to know and get some feedback, you know, from the listeners, because then we can always fine tune our podcast to fit what you want to hear. And I think you're doing a lot of that just naturally, Rochelle and Lindsay. So we are going to take a really quick commercial break. And when we come back, I'm going to ask Rochelle and Lindsay to share one homeschool do-over and something that they wish they could do differently, and one homeschool victory. So we'll be right back.
Are you ready to start earning some money this week? Now there's a way to start making money while managing your business life. Discover the power of being your own boss and start a micro business. Micro businesses can be run from home, meaning little overhead and extreme convenience. Carol Topp, certified public accountant and founder of Micro Business for Teens, is the author of Fast Track, Starting a Micro Business. She has inspired hundreds of teens and adults to start a micro business through her Micro Business for Teens books, videos, and podcasts. This online course is available on sale for a limited time. You'll find book excerpts, videos, audios, and fill-in PDFs, all to help you start and run a successful micro business. Ready to get started? Visit fasttrack.microbusinessforteens.com. That's fasttrack.microbusinessforteens.com and begin your business today.
Well, hey everyone, and welcome back. This is Felice Gerwitz with Vintage Homeschool Moms. And to find the podcast notes, just go to vintagehomeschoolmoms.com and find Meet Rochelle and Lindsay. I'll look for that podcast. I would tell you a number if I knew which number it was, because I don't know yet. So we're recording this way ahead of when it's going to air. So wish I knew what exact number that is, because it's easier to find that way. The best way to listen is to follow the show on our website or on your favorite podcast app on your phone, such as iTunes or Google Play. We're on over 40 podcast channels. So be sure to favorite Vintage Homeschool Moms. And while you're at it, Talking Mom to Mom podcast. With my special guests and podcasters, Rochelle McFarlane and Lindsay Stomberg. And they are the authors of the book, It's the Heart, Not the Hemline, A Biblical Study on Modesty. So what made you write this book?
Well, what made me write the book, I had thought of the idea long before it had been written. I have three daughters. And the topic of modesty, of course, when you have daughters, I mean, of course, even when you have sons, but when you have daughters, it's a little more weird because you're picking out clothing and you're, you know, and it's style and fashion and that type of thing. And I wasn't raised a Christian, and I really didn't understand. I mean, although my parents, you know, they did enforce, you know, modesty in a sense, it wasn't done biblically in a way that I connected it. So I kind of felt like, well, I'm not really sure what the rules are, and I'm looking for dress codes. And as I studied more, the Lord convicted me that it has nothing to do with dress codes, and it's not rules. It's your heart. If you could have, that's why it's, you know, it's not the hemline, because your hemline could be to the floor, but you could have an immodest behavior, an immodest heart, and still be displeasing to the Lord. Yeah, it's more than that. It's a heart attitude that you change from within, and that is what is going to change your appearance on the outside. You'll want to please the Lord with your appearance and be a blessing to others when your heart is right. And if you're just making the clothes right and your heart isn't right, then that's not, it's fake. It's legalistic. And to me, I felt like that was, it was groundbreaking to me. Maybe it wasn't to a lot of other people at the time, you know, maybe I wasn't real sure, but it was where I got the idea that I thought, because I was looking for things for my kids, like to try to help teach them about modesty, because I wasn't really, I was still learning myself. And as I became convicted and as I learned and as I did a lot of studying through it and couldn't really find another resource, I decided to create my own. And who better to create it with than, you know, my best friend Lindsay, who I knew had the same heart for the topic. And the Lord has really blessed us through it. And we are praying mostly that it blesses others, others that were in a position where they weren't quite sure how to approach modesty or how to have their kids understand that it's not, of course you want your clothing to be pleasing to the Lord, but it's about our heart first. And the heart is what we need to get to. And that everything else will just fall into place. And we do include in it, there's a lot of lessons, there's activities, there's a journal for moms and dads to write their thoughts after each lesson so their child can keep it and remind themselves of how, you know, how their father feels, how their mother feels, and of course the Bible verses that they'll be learning. So they're constantly being trained in biblical, you know, in what the Bible says about being modest, not just in, not clothing, but in your heart, in your speech, in your behavior. And those things will eventually come to, how do I represent myself, or how am I going to be honoring to God with my appearance? What is a modest appearance? And let's not make it a dress code. Let's make it something that is how am I going to look that's going to please the Lord? What does my father have to say about this? Because he's currently the one that is in charge of the household, in charge of me over at this time. So we didn't want to put a dress code in there because we wanted the children to respect their parents and what the parents had established. So we didn't take it in a way to say, this is what we want you to dress and this is what we think is godly. It wasn't like that. We're like, let's get your heart right and let's have this discussion with your parents. And there is a time that you have to say, I mean, I say it to my girls all the time. We were just doing bathing suit shopping. And I had to say no to that one, no to this one, no to that one. My daughter already knew when she picked up a few. Nope, that's going to be a no. That's going to be a no. So, of course, you're going to have that practical application that you're going to have to say no to things. But the hope is that they will be ready to hear it because their heart will be in the right place and they'll be ready to understand it. And they'll be ready to respect dad, even if they're not like, I don't really agree, but it's not really for you to agree. So that's what our study is for, is to prepare young girls to understand that modesty is beyond the clothing. And it is more about, you know, respect for yourself, glorifying God, and respect for your parents.
That's wonderful. And so where can we find the book?
In our store on our website at talkingmomtomom.com/shop. And it's there along with some other studies that people might like to look through.
Great. Great. And remember that when you type in the 2, it's the number 2. So
yes.
Just a quick reminder because I've done that as well. Okay. And then also, you know, when we started the right before commercial, we were talking about, you know, homeschooling. And I like to ask this question because I think it shows that, you know, none of us are the perfect homeschool family. We do have those glorious moments when we're like, oh, I've got this, it's not, you know, so terrible, you know, I'm not doing a horrible job, you know, and then there are those moments when, you know, your kids, everything falls apart, and you're thinking, oh my gosh, what am I doing to them? So, you know, if you could do something over again, and let's start with Rochelle, what would that be?
Well, for me, it would
school, obviously.
Yeah, for me, the homeschool thing that I would do differently would be I would start out from the point of view that it is my homeschool. I fell into the trap of trying to follow other people and comparison and trying to find, you know, trying to put it in a box and,
right.
you know, taking like what somebody else said or what should I do. And, you know, you do that in the beginning, you know, that's what you're trying to get your sea legs, your homeschool legs. So that's common. But I spent a lot of time trying to follow what other people were telling me or what I thought when I read these things. And I, without taking those wonderful nuggets of wisdom and then applying it to my kids, to my homeschool, instead of following something that wasn't necessarily meant for me. So if I had to do it over, I would make it personal and take into account my children and myself before stuffing us into some kind of homeschool box.
Right. And that's a very common pitfall. I'm on the other end with being at conferences, and I don't travel very much anyway, but when I've been at conferences and I would hear people say, well, what should I do? I'm just starting. And many times I would say, actually, because my books were unit studies, I would say, don't start with me unless you're really comfortable doing a unit study. And if they said, oh, yes, I've been really looking for unit studies, then I'd say, great. And if they would say, I don't know what a unit study is, I'd say, okay, so what exactly are you thinking? You know, so I'd like walk them through, and often I'd have other vendors from the homeschool conference come over. I had one year, I think I sent 3 people to another vendor because she had similar creationist material but it was more like, you know, cut this out and put this together kind of a thing. So she came to meet the crazy lady that was sending her so many customers. And I said, well, I used this stuff when my kids were younger. And it was really great because you can't outgive God. And they used to do print runs of 10,000 books, and they put our books in their books as the digging deeper section. So, you know, I always say you can't, you know, if just like you were saying, you know, it's a heart issue. If our heart is to help other families and to mentor other homeschoolers, you know, that's what we should be doing. And it's really a disservice when we go to a conference or you hear a speaker and they're, you know, this is the only way, you've got to do it this way. And if there's that kind of a message, then you really need to say, okay, I'm not, and that's why people are always told don't purchase at conferences, which really hurts us as sellers because, you know, people are coming to our booth and taking pictures now and buying it online. And I always tell people, well, you know, at a conference, you can get it cheaper from me. I make sure that I give a really good price. But, you know, you're so right, Rochelle. You really have to say, you know, what is God showing me that I need to do and not just follow, you know, the herd mentality. But it is hard for a new homeschooler because we don't want to make mistakes, do we?
No, we don't.
Yeah. Going to ruin our kids. Oh, no. Oh, gosh. And Lindsay, what about you? Is there something you wish you could do again? And I know you've got little ones, so you really haven't been at it, you know, maybe as long as we have, but I'm sure there have been moments in your life.
Well, I feel like this is actually going to be kind of funny because I feel like mine's a little bit in contrast to what Rochelle said, but I wish that I had been introduced to the more classical Charlotte Mason style of homeschooling earlier, because I've tended more to that now versus mm-hmm. when I started out. I was it was basically regular school in a homeschool setting where I had the desks
right.
and the worksheets, and that's just kind of how we did it. And so I wish if I could go back, it's not because I want to be uber structured or have everything put in a box for me, but just the philosophy behind it. That, and, you know, but all of that being said, it does take time to develop,
right.
you know, your philosophy about homeschooling a lot. And my husband has come a long way over the last few years as well. And Rochelle has that same story with her husband. And so that's just part of sanctification, right, where you just you
right.
have to live life and learn that way. So would I change it? Yes, but at the same time, it's a growing experience, so I can't exactly take that for granted either.
That's wonderful. And you've got implementing the Charlotte Mason method, and that's episode 5, husbands and homeschooling, episode 3. handling homeschool backlash from family and friends. That sounds awesome. And I really liked 4 things that steal your joy in homeschooling. And I think that is something people need to hear again and again, because there are different times in your homeschool journey where you're not very joyful. And so that's a great podcast to put on your playlist on your phones, ladies, and listen to again and again. It was great advice. All right. So what about a victory? What is a homeschool victory that you can say, yeah, I did okay here? I know we're not supposed to be braggy, and I'm asking you guys to, you know, to share a little bit. But I also want to be encouraging that, you know, it isn't always, you know, this dire, you know, we've got to meet this criteria or we're just going to be failures. There are many times where, you know, where I remember just my son writing the letter A, and it was a half a page, and I was delighted because he wrote the letter A. I didn't care it was so big. He had, you know, some fine motor issues. So I was delighted with that letter A, and I think I kept that paper for years. I probably still have it somewhere. And, you know, there are those victories. So what's one for you, Rochelle?
Well, I think that's you brought up a good point. I think one of the biggest, in a broad sense, one of the victories that I have had is the idea of understanding the daily celebrations of small things that your kids accomplish and appreciating those, and not just the big things. I had a daughter, my first daughter, my oldest, she had difficulty with spelling, And she was, I mean, literally getting F's, like just, I mean, when I give her spelling tests, she'd get them all wrong. And I just, and I developed a new program for her. Like I just started doing different things with her. And she went, and I sound like an infomercial because she actually went from getting F's to getting A's. And she would have like 25 spelling words and I would only give her 20. And then she'd write in the rest of the five, you know, and wow. I was like, wow, I actually, like I got through something I did. Benefited, you know, like here we're seeing the fruit of it. And we need that little bit of encouragement because we think of victories as big things. You know, our kids got into med school or they're, you know, they cured cancer. But, you know, those small things, like they just, you know, they start doing better in reading or spelling. Those are really, they're big victories because they're big for your kid. It really does a lot for them to achieve.
Well,
and to notice those little victories is a big deal.
Write that down as a podcast you need to do in the future, because I'm sure that would be something that people would love to hear more about, that in detail about how you were able to turn that around. That is so great. Very, very good. And Lindsay, what about you?
Well, we are actually going to be podcasting over the next couple of months talking about, and this is my victory, and I'm very excited about this year. I started a business with my daughter. My 8-year-old, and started a business with her and for her. And it's been this really neat thing that I've just seen her be able to develop, and just her confidence being built through it. And it's just been a really neat experience. I researched something that I thought that she could do, and it has to do with making like little silicone shoe baby toys and like pacifier clips and things like that. And we started selling it to friends, and it's actually grown past that. And it's been something that she's been so excited about to be able to do. And she wanted to start a business. So this was like her Christmas gift, and we got her the supplies to start it. But it's something that she's learning skills right now that will take mm-hmm. her through the rest of her life. And so that may not seem homeschooling in the, you know, standard
no,
the traditional
is.
Sense, but it's definitely teaching something, life skills that she's going to be able to use forever, because we go through math, we go through, you know, these business skills cover all sorts of subjects.
Absolutely. My daughter and I wrote a series of novels she wanted to write and struggled with some of the things you were talking about, Rochelle, like spelling. And so, you know, she really wanted to write a book. And I thought, oh, my gosh, you know, this is going to be fun. And I said, you know, Christina, I don't know anything about writing a novel, you know, because I already had authored books, but they were nonfiction. And she just looked at me, hands on her hips, and she to this day is like 5 foot, and I'm like 5'4.5". So I still, you know, like she's tiny, but little spitfire. And she looked at me and she goes, Mom, we're homeschoolers. We can figure it out. I'm like, oh my gosh, I created a monster. And this is the one that has all the children and she homeschools. but we did. We wrote the three novels, and they were, you know, very well received. And so, you know, that is something that was a skill that she did as a homeschool child. And also, you know, when she started college, I think we finished the last of the third novel, and we keep saying we want to go back and write some more, but she's a little busy right now. But yeah, so it is, it's a wonderful activity to get them into their own business or their own passion. Well, ladies, we are out of time. I am so excited to get to sit and talk to both of you, and really want to encourage the listeners of Vintage Homeschool Moms to go over and listen to Mom Talking Mom to Mom podcast over on the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. You'll find it right there. And these graphics are amazing. I love the art that you've put into each one of your graphics, girls. It's really amazing. So thank you so much for taking the time and sharing with the listeners on this program. And I can't wait to hear more of what you guys are going to be doing in the near future.
Well, thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for tuning in to the Vintage Homeschool Mom Show. Visit Felice at MediaAngels.com and TheVintageHomeschoolMoms.com. Vintage Homeschool Moms is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network.